Well, that's a pretty good song talking about what, Jesus, his great love for us, and he died to redeem me. And we're going to talk about that tonight in our passage for our last Wednesday service, huh? Next week is a big week for everybody, huh? Well, let's turn over there to 1 John chapter 3. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for your great love for us, that you're willing to redeem us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We need to be spoken to by way of an individual as well as to a congregation. So I just pray that you would do that for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm guessing maybe 3 months ago or so, I'll go back a little further than that. Since we've been here, 2009, my wife's been just barely getting by with old vacuum cleaners. And I think she bought a used one time, the one where you can watch the dust go around. You can actually see the dust scoot around in there. And kind of getting by, just barely. And sometimes none of the vacuum cleaners in our house work as we wait for parts or whatever. And so we've got to go over to the church secretary's office there and borrow hers. And give that one a little use every now and then. Well, I'm going to say maybe late December, maybe January, somewhere in that range. Decided, no, it's time to do something about this. Anyhow, this is what I did. I sold one of my motorcycles, and I gave a good chunk of it to my wife as she was on her way to town to buy a vacuum cleaner. I showed her that I loved her. The proof of my love is in that vacuum cleaner. You bet. What? You're convinced. Yes, you are. The ladies at the church out there, they weren't quite so impressed with that. They said, you would really show that you love her if you learned how to run it. Sometime between now and retirement, I'm going to learn how to run it. I thought about that, purchasing that vacuum cleaner. I didn't tell you the whole story. I still have another motorcycle in the garage, so it's okay. Anyhow, I kept the best one, yep. Anyhow, as that think about that motorcycle, that was something that had happened about 3 months ago. And every time my wife uses that vacuum cleaner, let's say she uses it tomorrow, she is reminded of an event that took place back then, but still impacts her today. The proof of my love, okay? We see something about that similar concept. Has nothing to do with a vacuum cleaner, but of love that God has for you in our passage here for this evening. The first thing I'd like for us to look at this evening here is the proof of love. The proof of love. So take your Bibles there and turn to 1 John chapter 3. And we're in verse 16 there. 1 John is written by John. And he's got some good words for us this evening here. He says, we know love by this. This is how we know the love. Your translation might even put the word the in front of love. Okay? So the first word we're going to look at this evening here is know. When John says we know the love, okay, John is saying that we know it perfectly, completely, totally, of an event or an action that took place over here but still impacts us here. In fact, it impacts us even today, March 21st, 2018. That's tied up in that word, know. A past action that took place, we know it took place, and let's say John writes this 30, 40 years later, still impacts him today, and it impacts even you and I, okay? Now notice the word we, okay? John, he says, I guess I should have started there. We, who's we? Well, it's John and the disciples, okay? the other 10 of them, I suppose. The one, Judas, is not there anymore. So we, because God's word is living and active, he wants to include you in the we. Okay? Put yourself in there that you might know some or event that took place still impacts you today. Well, what is that he knows? What is it that John knows? Okay. Well, let's take a look. We know the love by this. Okay. We know love by this. We usually take out the because it flows a little better in English. But you could actually put the word the in front of it. Okay. Why? Because it pinpoints, specifies which love. Okay. For us as Americans, we use the word love pretty broadly, I suppose you could say. Love's in the air. Do you think that's the kind of love John's talking about? Or I love my pizza or whatever it might be. I love my motorcycle or whatever it might be. Okay? No, John is very specific. It's not just any old or ordinary love. There is something specific that John wants you to know. He wants me to know. This love. Okay? How does he know the love? How is that he's so certain of this love? Well, you could just go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says this, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Well, John says, we know this for certain. I know the love because I was standing right there at the cross. Who is he standing next to? Get bonus points. Mary, yes. The mother of Jesus, okay? So he knows for certain he was a... What? He was an eyewitness, okay? How many of you have eyes? Looks like everybody's got eyes, okay? He was an eyewitness. He saw it, okay? How many of you have ears? Looks like everybody's got ears. He did what? He heard the words that Jesus spoke. He heard the directions and commands, and he heard the great love from Jesus. Okay? He also says something else. How many of you have hands? Everybody got hands out here? Carl's got hands, okay. At least one of us got hands. He also touched. Okay? John, the disciple, touched Jesus. I was just studying something yesterday, I think it was. Maybe it was Monday, whatever day it was. About Jesus humbling himself, humble and gentle, or riding on a donkey, a colt. And that word for humble was that carries the idea that he's low enough that we could stand next to him. Humbled himself enough that the great crowds could stand around him. I thought that was quite interesting. He was humble enough that an animal, that he could sit on the animal. And I went back to Mount Sinai when Moses went up to the mountain and God said, you tell the people down there, don't come anywhere near the mountain because you'll be psht, just like that. You'll die. Don't even let the animals near because God is holy, holy, holy. Okay? And so I thought about that as I was studying some stuff, I think it was yesterday. Okay, so he knows this. He knows it with certainty. Okay, he wants you to know it. Okay? Now let's go also to an outside source. So we got an inside source. We got biblical evidence. John says, I saw, I heard, I touched. Okay, that's biblical evidence. Okay, let's go outside of the Bible to reassure our knowing. Okay, here's a fellow by the name of Josephus. Josephus lived from 37 to 100, so not far, not long after Jesus was here. Okay, Josephus is a Roman and Jewish historian. He says this, now, There was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him man, for he was a doer of wonderful works. This man was the Christ, and when Pilate had condemned him to the cross, he appeared to them alive on the third day. That's an outside source from a Roman source, okay? A Jewish source, okay? So you can know for certain, okay? The Bible is very accurate. There are over 24,000 copies of the New Testament, over 5,000 copies of the New Testament in Greek, fragments and full copies and so on and so forth, okay? So can you trust your New Testament? Can you trust the entire Bible? Yes, okay? So you can know, right? So what is it that you can know for sure, okay? We'll take a look. We know by this that he laid down his life. Who's he? Jesus, you go through the context here of 1 John, and you discover that the he is Jesus. He laid down his life. Just for the fun of it? Just for something to do? He was just bored one day? No, it's very specific again. He laid down his life. What are the two words at the end? For us. Or your translation might use the words in behalf of, or something like that. He laid down his life for us. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, so on and so forth. Tom, your name. He laid down his life for us, okay? So what you want to do, you can just slide over to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 11 there. And this is the testimony, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, okay? Slide back to 1 John 1, 7, and we discover this. And right towards the bottom of verse 7 there, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, okay? So what we see here is a substitution taking place. Jesus is taking your place, my place. Okay? He laid down his life for us. Okay? It's the only way that we'd ever get cleansed. The only way we'd ever be redeemed is that Jesus would substitute himself, because he is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Okay? Now, did they take Jesus' life from him? They were a lot stronger than Jesus and his disciples, and they showed up with big sharp knives and great big heavy clubs, and they took Jesus by force. No. Okay. Jesus said in John chapter 10, they don't take my life. I lay it down on my own initiative. Okay. And that sits all within this verse here, that he laid down his life for us. Okay. Why? So that we might have eternal life. Isn't that good news? Through faith in Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith and obedience and all that stuff, okay, that we might have life. That's really, really, really good news, isn't it? We should have a couple amens. All right, we got more than that. Fantastic. And that's good news. You see, that's the good news that's going to impact your life today and tomorrow. Which would lead us to our second thought. So we notice the proof of love. Now we're going to notice the practice of love. Okay, the practice of love. John doesn't stop there. He keeps on going here. Now that you know that, of Jesus, his great love for you, his amazing love, okay, now that you know that, he says, and we ought to lay down our lives. Wow. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren, okay? Because you and I know for certainty that Jesus laid down his life on the cross for you and rose again, that you might have eternal life. That's going to impact your life from this day forward, okay? And you're going to start practicing love, okay? You're going to start practicing that which you have heard, that which has changed you Now practice that, okay? See, oftentimes what happens is we say, you know, you can ask people, do you believe in God? Yeah, sure, I believe in God. Why not? You believe in Jesus? Sure. And that's where it stops, okay? But John is saying here, practice it, okay? We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren, okay? We ought to lay down our lives. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are like me. You probably wouldn't want to be me, but this may be another story, okay? You're probably similar to me, maybe. I haven't been thinking too much lately about laying down my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? It's not the first thing I think of in the morning. You know, I wonder if I might have to lay down my life. I wonder if I might have to die today for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lately, I've been thinking about basketball. We had 3 days of basketball. And it was nice to get home from basketball. I think about melting snow. And I think about all the water that's working its way into my sun porch because it's a big ice dam and they won't let the water drain away. I got to get out there and chip a little trail for the water to run away. I think about all kinds of things. I usually think about the big three. Me, myself, and I. You've heard of the big three, huh? The big three live in Beulah, too? Wow, they live out in Golden Valley, too. In fact, they live in 200 3rd Avenue Northwest, Tom's house. The big three, that's usually what I think of. But John says here, think of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tom, you ought to be willing to lay down your lives for them. You know, I think in my own life, think back to my mom. I was in my mid-30s before I ever told my mom, I love you, Mom. Isn't that awful? I was 45 years old, December 31st, 2017, before I held my mom's hand to help her walk across the slippery snow. And God comes along and says, Tom, you ought to be willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ, your mom, your dad. Okay? And I thought about that. You know, God has a way of even touching and speaking to pastors' hearts. Isn't that good? And I hope you're not like me. Wait that long to tell your mom and dad that you love them or something like that, okay? It might not be where you'll have to die for your brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you go down to verse 17, it might be something else. Just glance at verse 17. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him, okay? It might be that you see your brother and sister in Christ, and they might just need a pair of dry gloves. They've been out chipping ice, and maybe they slipped on the ice, and they caught themselves, and they got their gloves wet. Maybe it might just be driving yourself down to Bronson's and get yourself some tater tots and some green beans and some cream of mushroom, maybe, and make them a hot dish. Bring them a hot dish over. Something like that. I'm not sure if Pastor Sperry gave you had an opportunity to thank you. I sent it to him while he was probably preaching one morning. I remembered it. Oh, I better send Pastor Sperry a text message. But I'd like to thank you as a congregation for taking care of the Hertha Reinhardt family. I know she's not a member here. She used to be a member over at Emmanuel. And I thought highly of that. I thought that was fantastic. That you're practicing love to the Reinhardt family by making them meals, letting them use your church, and so on and so forth. And I just wanted to say thank you, okay? And so I thought about these things and practicing love as well, practicing them for your brothers and sisters in Christ. think of them. So I thought to myself, well, how am I going to get past thinking of just the stuff on earth? Okay. And you know, we have to live on earth. We need to have a job, or we need to, whatever it might be, we need finances to go and buy bread and milk and eggs and peanut butter Captain Crunch. Okay. We need that kind of stuff. So we have responsibilities. We have stewardship on this earth and so on and so forth. Okay. At the same time, how do I not be so focused on just this earthly stuff? Well, as I was studying some, I can't remember exactly where I found it, but he said, if I'm just setting my mind on earthly stuff, I'm actually an enemy of God. I don't have my mind in the right place, okay? But if I went over to Colossians, I think it was Colossians chapter 1, I better look. Oh, yeah, that was Philippians chapter 3. If you're just set your minds on the things of earth, we're an enemy of the cross. That's Philippians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I wanted to help myself, and I wanted to help you, to refocus our minds, to kind of help us to be more willing to see, you know, I have a home in heaven. If I have to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's okay. I got a home in heaven. No more weeping, no more pain, sorrow. I was just visiting with one of the fellows out in Golden Valley just before I came here, and his neck has been bothering him. He's full of arthritis, and he's just miserable. I told him, well, in heaven there's not going to be any arthritis. It's going to be all gone. So to refocus our minds, I went to Colossians chapter 3, that's not Colossians, here it is. It says this, verses 1 and 2, chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. And I think that'll help us as we, you know, as we think about what Christ has done for us. The proof of his love is that he laid down his life for us. That's good news. Knowing that impacts my life, how I treat you, how I treat my brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? And I ought to start practicing that love. Okay? And I ought to start setting my mind on the things above. And that changes how I live down here on this earth. Okay? I've heard it said, so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. I kind of hesitate away from that one a little bit. I think maybe the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are. It's kind of the way I think. But set our minds on the things of God, things above, and changes how we live down here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the good words you've given to us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to teach us about your great love. We know that you proved your love, but God demonstrated his love for us in this and that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's really good news. And that news will change us. It will impact us tomorrow. Well, it does right now, and it does tomorrow and the next day. And so we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to start practicing that love as well. So help us too then, as we just press on from day to day. Shall we all rise as we close with our Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.